NFL season gets underway tonight in Philadelphia. Washington opens up its NFL 2025 season Sunday at home against the Giants at 1 o'clock. Tomorrow's show, we'll have Washington wins if. We'll have season predictions, our NFC predictions coming up later on this hour, and we'll have predictions on the opening game. You know, the NFL top 100 list this year, the list voted on by the players, had the most Washington players in the top 100 ever since that list started back in 2012. Five players mentioned as top 100 players. Laremy Tunsil came in at 86, Bobby Wagner at 74, Frankie Louvu at 70, Terry at 52, and Jaden Daniels at 21. Washington has some A-level players. Who are your top five in order, Washington players? Now, I think the top three are very easy. Number one is Jaden Daniels for me. I think that would be your number one. Is that really even a debate? I think there's a debate between two and three. I go at number two, Frankie Louvu, and I go at number three, Terry McLaurin. And then four and five, I'm expecting a lot of different answers. Who are the fourth and fifth best players on this team after what I think should be a consensus top three? The order may be different for some of you after Jaden. You might have Terry two and Louvu three. I've got Louvu two and Terry three. But four and five is where it gets very interesting. For me, I had a lot of possibilities for the next two to round out the five best players on the team. I went with Laremy Tunsil at four because he is flat out a top five pass blocking left tackle in the game. And hard to come up with, you know, you could look at Bobby Wagner as a second team all pro. You could look at, you know, a guy like Mikey Sanders still after 1 year. You may, you know, believe that Sam Cosmi is a top five player on the team, even though he's not going to be ready. I went Tunsil four, and this will probably upset some, but I went Deebo Samuel five. I think Deebo's going to have a big year. I think Deebo at his best is one of the most versatile, high-level skill position players in the league. I think him at his best. Health is everything. He's got to be healthy. But that is my top five. Jaden one, Louvu two, Terry three, Tunsil four, and Deebo Samuel five. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I want your top five, and you can just say top three, Jaden, and then you go Terry two, Louvu three, or Louvu two, Terry three. Let's get to four and five. Or maybe you don't think my two and three are accurate. I think that would be the consensus overall. Phone lines are open. I want to hear who you think the five best players on this team entering 2025 are. Max, what's your list?
All right. Obviously, Jaden won. I don't think we need to spend too much time on that. Number two, Terry McLaurin. Just everything he's done for this team for however long or for as long as he's been here, I've got him at number two. Number three is going to be, you've already mentioned him, Laremy Tunsil.
Tunsil. Okay,
yes.
At three.
Tunsil
okay,
at three.
That's fine.
Four, Louvu. I think Frankie's going to fly around. I mean, he was the heart and soul of this defense last year. I think he's going to be that again this year. Now, before I get to my number five, I'm going to give you some honorable mentions. Now, my honorable mentions are going to be Bobby Wagner, obviously for his entire career, for everything he's done in the NFL, like 100 tackles per season, even at his current age, he could be five, but he's not my five. Sam Cosmi, again, for all the things he's done at the right guard spot, he's just been, you know, Brandon Scherff 2.0, but happy here, which I enjoy. Number five for me, Mike Sainristil. Dan Quinn talks a lot about it, and he mentioned something in his presser a couple weeks ago about how a lot of these guys going into year two are making these adjustments or have made these adjustments in the offseason to get better. Now, He mentioned two guys in the class of getting better during the season, and that was Jaden and that was Mikey. So I think Mikey's just going to have a great year this year. I'm so high on everything that he does. He plays like a dog. He's not afraid of anybody. in spite of his, you know, 5'9 stature. So number five for me, Mike Sainer still going forward, I think is going to be a staple on this Commander's defense for years to come.
All right. If you want to weigh in, we've got phone lines open at 301-230-0980. Who are your top five players? This from, where is it? I just had it up a second ago because this is somebody who believes what you believe. From DC Sports Talk, love Luvu, but he's not better than Tunsil. I had Luvu 2, Terry 3, Tunsil 4. Max had Tunsil 3, Luvu 4. Just as a matter of fact, Frankie Luvu was a second-team All-Pro linebacker last year. Tunsil did not make All-Pro last year. The left tackles were Tristan Wirfs and Jordan Mailata on the first team, and the second-team tackles were Lane Johnson. And I don't see where the second team tackle is on this list. Lane Johnson's a right tackle, though. I guess. Huh. Oh, you only had one left tackle. Duh. Tristan Wirfs was first team. Jordan Mailata was second team. And in terms of all pro. You know, fewer opportunities on that. I get it. More linebackers, where Frankie Luvu and Bobby Wagner were both second team all pros. Let's go to Ross in Tampa. Ross, give me your top five players on the team in order.
All right, Kevin, first and foremost, you know how it is. What's good in the hood, man?
What's up, Ross? How you doing?
Not much. All right, so just like Max, I got an honorable mention, too, then I'm going to get right into the top five. So my honorable mentions are Laremy Tunsil, Terry McLaurin, Frankie Luvu, and Deron Payne.
Those now, are your honorable mentions. Wow. Okay.
Those are my honorable mentions, Kevin. All right, so my top five. Coming in number five, Jaden Daniels.
Wait, coming in number four, hold on Jaden for a second. Daniels. First of all, I don't want everybody's honorable mention list because it'll take too long and phone lines are packing up here. Number two, give me one through five in that order. So because I want to make sure I'm not confused. Did you just say that Jaden Daniels is the fifth best player on the team?
Hear me out, Kevin. I promise, man. Coming in at number five, Jaden. Number four, Jaden. Number three, Jaden. Number two, okay. And number one, Jaden Daniels.
Okay, so that's why you had everybody else honorable mention. You're doing a bit. Okay. All right.
Yeah, those are my top five, Kevin.
Thank you, Ross.
Those are my top five.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to Nate. Nate's calling, I think, from Colorado. Nate, your top five players on the team in order. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Beastie Nate out in Colorado. But Jaden, number one. Terry, number two. I'm going to put Tunsil at number three. Luvu at four. And I'm going to give some love to Deron Payne here at number five.
You know, pretty much every year prior to this year, I would have had Deron in the top five because I'm a big Deron Payne fan, that is for sure. I think it's hard after the season he had last year and the one he had the year before to consider him a top five player anymore. They have more talent than they've had. I would love it if this time next year Deron Payne is a top five player, because the one thing I think a lot of people forget is Deron right now should be in the prime of his career. He is 28, and he just turned 28 a few months ago. This should be the beginning of like a three-year, if he is the player that they thought they had when they drafted him, that we thought he was in 2022. You know, there is, by the way, I want to mention, sort of a narrative out there from people in the know that with John gone, Deron may thrive. He might be more comfortable without sort of big brother looking over his shoulder. We'll see. I don't think Deron Payne's a top five player on this team anymore, but I would certainly say as a talent, he could be. Yes. Thanks, Nate, for the call. Paulie, your top five players on the team.
Hell to the W. What's up, big guy?
What's up, big boy?
Let me be uncoachable for a quick second, too. I think with Kinlaw next to Payne, Kinlaw eating up the double teams, I think that's why Payne's going to have a big season, because I don't see too many people that could just stand in front of him one-on-one without him getting the best of them. You know what
right.
I mean?
So that's an interesting point. We'll find out if Kinlaw is somebody, because Duran got doubled more last year than John did. I still think Duran's going to be the focus on some of those double teams, but you might be right. Let's see how it plays out.
Their whole time together, those two, Duran always got the doubles.
Almost always. Or more so, yeah.
My list, man, actually mirrored Max, but I'm going to amend it a little bit. I got Jaden 1, Terry 2, Luvu 3, Tunsil 4, give me Marshawn Lattimore at 5. Them cornerbacks smell the money, man. I smell a big season from Lattimore this year, man. Give me Lattimore at 5, man. Pedigree follows him, bro.
Yeah. I mean, he's under contract in 2026, but there is no, the guaranteed money isn't there, and there's a lot of discussion. There will be a lot of discussion if he has a big year about paying him, as there will be with Tunsil next offseason. Yeah, I thought about Lattimore, Paulie. Certainly from a talent standpoint, he's in the conversation. Thanks, as always. Let's go to John in Falls Church. John, top 5 players on the team.
I got to agree with your top 5 right down the line, and I wanted to stick up for Debo. I'm coming around to being a Commanders fan, but I'm a 49ers fan first and foremost.
Okay.
And he brought us so many good – he tries so hard.
He does try so hard.
He is – people accuse him of being overweight. He's a thick dude in the core.
Yeah.
And that's why he sheds tackles. I mean, from like his thigh to his shoulder probably weighs, 80% of his body weight. And it's just hard to take down when somebody's running that hard, when somebody's, that determined to get out of a tackle. He is really, really good. And, he does get hurt. Like, he's a fine-tuned machine. He's got pulled hamstrings and stuff like that. But it's not because he's not trying or because he's overweight or because of anything like that. He is a determined football player and who's really good at football. And you kind of lose that. You go back to high school or even junior high or whatever. Some guys are just really good at what they do, football, basketball, baseball, because they care so much. And this guy is so good at football.
He is so good at football when he is right physically. And I'll tell you what, he plays not right physically a lot more than most players do. And sometimes that impacts the performance. If he is healthy and he is fit and he is motivated, which we believe he is, contract year, the whole thing, he's playing with the best quarterback he's ever played with. He's playing with an outstanding coordinator, not that he wasn't before. I think, I'm not saying this about all of our fans, but I know a lot of our fans watch our team, and that's kind of it. I think they're going to be blown away if we get the Debo Samuel that San Francisco had, in 2021, at times in 22 and 23 before he got pneumonia. He is one of the hardest, playing, try-hard, physical, tackle-breaking machines in the league. He's so versatile. Talent-wise, he's top 5 on this team, and I think we're going to see the production. I'm hoping we see it, John. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Saeed. Saeed, what's your top 5? Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. My top 5 is, and I'll explain why it's this top 5. It's Jaden, Terry, Debo Samuel.
Ooh, okay.
Zach Ertz and Frankie Luvu. And the reason why I say that, an honorable mention, Von Miller for me. And the reason I say that is because I watched the press conference for the Giants coach, and when he was asked about Washington and what they did last year, he was basically saying, it doesn't really matter because you don't know how they're going to do what they do in week one. You have no tape for this year on how they're going to use it. So I made the top 5 based on who I thought the Giants are drawing circles around, who they're thinking, how is this guy going to be used? And that's how I base it on the top player, not necessarily on athleticism, just on who's honestly a problem when they're watching the tape and wondering how are we going to go about containing these guys? So that's how I based it.
Yeah, I mean, look, you had I didn't listen to Dable's press conference yesterday, and I'm going to go back and listen to it after the show today. I love doing that with the opposing coaches before games. But you put Ertz in there. I actually considered Ertz for number five along with Debo. Ertz certainly from an impact standpoint this year is, I think, going to be super important. And his health, you know, which hasn't been great until last year in recent years, will be critical to, you know, the offense's production. Thanks, Saeed. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mutu. Mutu's calling from Frederick. Mutu, who's your top five players on Washington's team for 2025?
Evan, happy Commander season, man.
Back at you.
I got JD. I got Terry. I got Consoles, and you just mentioned the importance of this guy and the experience he brings and the importance to the offense and JD. I got to put Zach Ertz in there. And number five, I'm basing this on Marshawn having being healthy. That's one side of the field being shut down. I got to put Marshawn Lattimore in there. Now, Debo is tempting me, but he's got to prove himself first. That's all I got, Kevin.
Good job, Mutu. Appreciate it. Let's finish it up with Little. Little, who's your top five? Go ahead.
Kevin, what's up? Shout out to Mad Max. Hey, look, yep. We all know JD5. But look, man, I'm gonna go JD5. I'm going to leave the middle blank, coach, and I'm going to put Tressway at number five. Reason why? Because I hope he don't take the field this year at all.
Yeah, well, he didn't take the field much last year.
He ain't never messed up on a snap hole, you know, when you're holding for the kicker. So, yeah, I got to give Pressway some credit, man. God bless y'all, Steph, Kev. Hey, look, right. Section 217. We're going to be rocking Sunday, man. Section
you just gave me two players. You gave me number one and number five. No two, three, four?
Right, I'm going to say, you put whoever you want. I like the last caller. You put whoever you want to put in the middle. But I got Jaden and I got Pressway. Man, right, God bless y'all. Stay up, man.
Appreciate it. Washington last year punted 50 times, only three teams punted less. Atlanta, the 49ers, and Detroit. I would bet you that Detroit attempted more fourth down conversions than any other team in the league, and that would probably be a reason that they didn't punt as much. That, let me just see, fourth down conversions attempted. The most fourth down attempts in the 24 regular season, Minnesota. Okay, Detroit was sixth in terms of most attempts last year. Interesting. Minnesota attempted more fourth downs than anybody, followed by Buffalo and Denver. But two teams last year in Minnesota, Buffalo, that didn't punt much anyway, whether they were converting on fourth down or not. Nobody had a higher fourth down conversion percentage than our team. Oh, you know what? This is not... I'll figure this out. I got some wrong numbers here. Washington was 20 of 23 on fourth down last year, right? Wasn't that the final number?
I'm pretty 87%? Sure that was right. Yeah, because I remember it being like unprecedented.
Yeah, it's not reflected in the NFL.com stats that way. So I think I've got a wrong page here that popped up. All right, Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Talk, next. Charch is going to be with us every Thursday. We're still efforting to get him. But Charch will be with us as he's been for many, many years. Thursdays at 11:25 with fantasy football tips. You can follow Charch on X at Paul Charchian. He's got podcasts galore. Fantasy Football Weekly and Chop are two of the biggest. We got opening night tonight. Charch will join us here momentarily. You know, I don't have a smell test pick for tonight. I know a lot of you thought that I would give out the Cowboys tonight, and there is a lot more public action on Philly than on Dallas tonight. There's just too much sharp action on Philly as well, so I'm going to back off the game overall. By the way, I do like the under a little bit tonight. Just, I might play that. It's 47.5. Might play the under, but no official picks after a 5-1 first weekend of smell test selections. But there is a game on Sunday that I love, and I think it's going to fit in with something Charch will talk about as sort of a surprise quarterback starter for this weekend. But do we have him yet?
I have to reset the phone. I don't know what's happening. I keep trying to, it's either going to voicemail or it just doesn't ring. So we're resetting the phone.
You
want
to text him and tell him to call us?
Yeah, I'm going to shoot him a text right now.
Yeah, shoot him a text and tell him to call us. And we'll see if we can get him that way. Fantasy football-wise, I think most of you know this. I like talking to Charch just about football in general because he's very sharp on football. I'm, you know, more of in that category of getting a rush from betting on games. A lot of you, you know, have gotten it through fantasy football over the years, and I like it a lot more now, especially in these guillotine leagues where it's survive in advance and that's it. That's fun to survive in advance. Lowest, you know, score gets eliminated each week. By the way, we'll have obviously some of those, you know, weekly suicide pools where all you've got to do is pick a winner, but you can't repeat that team during the course of the year. You know, week one, it seems like in those suicides that the first 2 weeks eliminates like three quarters of the field every year. You know, last year week one was Cincinnati losing to New England. They were I think they were the biggest favorite on the board in week one last year, and they lost that week one game at home against a team that would only win three more games during the course of the season. And sort of looking at this week, there aren't a lot of massive underdogs. The Titans are the biggest underdog this weekend. They're getting 8.5 at Denver. And then the second biggest underdog is tonight, the Cowboys getting 8, although I've seen 8.5s out there as well. But wouldn't surprise me if, like, you know, the world has Cincinnati in a suicide pool and somehow Cleveland wins that game. Do we have Charch? All right, we got Charch, finally. Phone line issues aside. One of my favorite segments of the week, Paul Charchian, right with us every Thursday in this time slot to talk fantasy football. Before we get to fantasy football and some of what you want to talk about today, do you have you made sort of a Super Bowl pick for this season? Do you have an NFC champion and an AFC champion and an ultimate winner?
I do. And I know it's super boring, but the best roster in the NFL by a margin remains the Eagles. And, you know, teams don't repeat. And I hate being chalky because, you know, what fun is that? There's no fun in chalk. But I just think the reality is the best roster by a margin is still the Eagles. And
okay.
You know, there's two teams in your division that are going to offer zero resistance this season. So, I just think the Eagles have got the clearest path. And I'm a pretty big contrarian. I really believe everything changes every year a lot, but I don't see that changing. I know that is not really the answer that your listeners want to hear.
No. So, who do you have out of the AFC?
Yeah, AFC is I think way, way more wide open this year, but you know, my belief is that this is the year that the Baltimore Ravens finally put it all together and we finally get the monkey off the back for Lamar Jackson. It's just such a good roster. You know, we know they can run the ball, Derrick Henry. They can pass the ball well. The Ravens defense got tons better last year. They poured a bunch of draft picks into it. And, yeah, you know, I heard what you're saying about Cleveland and Cincinnati, and that is a trap game for sure. And those teams, Cleveland's going to be a lot better, but I think the Steelers will be a surprisingly easy out for Baltimore too. So that's my picks. Pretty chalky, and I'd love to go a different way. You know, like I think Carolina's going to be really improved, but we can't talk Super Bowl with Carolina.
Do you have Baltimore winning the Super Bowl over Philly?
You know, it's funny. I guess I haven't really thought about it that much.
Okay,
that's about
fine.
Who to win, and I'll still take the Eagles on the advantage of the best roster in football.
You know,
how about you? What do you got?
Average, you know, intelligences get along together. I think that's why we both get along. I go the contrarian route every year too, and I'm very chalky in my overall picks so far that we've made on the show, the AFC picks. And my NFC picks are going to be pretty chalky too. You know, typically you get out of the 14 playoff teams, you know, 5-6 of them are teams that weren't in the postseason the year before.
That's right.
I can't come up with that list this year. Usually I've got 4 or 5 teams that people are like, what? And it's hard to find the right 4 or 5. You know, it's hard to find the Washington last year or the Houston from the year before, but I don't see it this year. I think it could be a real chalky kind of a season. So I'm with you on that. All right, let's start with tonight. You know, if you've got a lot of the Eagles, if you've got AJ Brown and you've got, you know, Jalen Hurts and you've got Saquon Barkley, you got to have him in the game against Dallas's defense, don't you?
Yeah, we're certainly starting all of our Eagles. That makes sense. And one of the beauties of the Eagles is they don't really have fringe guys. They've got, you know, just like obvious players that you absolutely want to start. And then you don't have to go to Jahan Dotson. That's, you know, it's part of the beauty of that roster. It's start all of your Eagles. And there's a lot of sort of baked in advantages right now for the Eagles and what is maybe the easiest start of their season. Last year, Dallas saw the most fantasy points to opposing passers and the fourth most to opposing wide receivers. So every part of that Eagles passing game is definitely in play. And then they'll run the ball through a lot of the second half of that game. Saquon Barkley likely sitting on a big matchup. And by the way, Kevin, why did the NFL put this dog matchup as their signature kickoff to the season? Everybody knew, but even before the Micah Parsons trade, Dallas had the stench of death.
Yeah, the answer to that is the Cowboys are still a massive draw. I lost you there for a second. But, you know, we talked a lot about how many great home games the Eagles had before the schedule came out. And I thought there was a lot of momentum potentially for a rematch of the NFC Championship game with Washington at Philadelphia. They've got the Rams at home. They've got the Lions at home. They've got the Broncos at home. So there were a lot of possibilities. But I had that guy Mike North, who's a big part of making the schedule, on a couple of times during the spring. And, you know, last year they kind of broke trend of, hey, people are going to watch this game, so we don't need a great matchup. You know, they had Detroit when they weren't very good against Kansas City, and they went with Baltimore KC last year, and they just decided to put their highest draw team along with Kansas City, you know, into the opener against the Eagles. They'll get a massive number. You know they will.
We're watching for the train wreck. We're not watching for a same game. We're watching to see, quote, America's team get their ass handed to them and Jerry Jones get the comeuppance that he deserves as the worst general manager in football right now.
It's week one, Sharks. You know that week one, you know, anything kind of happens. I mean, it's kind of a head fake week. We'll see, but you could be right, and I think a lot of people will be rooting to see that. All right, so give me the player that went undrafted in most leagues that you feel you got to pick up now before week one.
And I'm not saying this to this is not an answer I'm changing in all my various stops today at the behest of various localities. It's Chris Rodriguez. He's the player who went undrafted in fantasy leagues that, you know, maybe less so in your market than others, that I think is going to be somebody that coming out of week one, I think he's going to be the hot waiver wire pickup, and you want him on your team already. So again, your audience already knows more about him, but you get the big body that he brings, 225. You get the promising track record on very limited carries in years past, but 4.8 yards per carry, 4.9 yards per carry in his first two seasons. And let me drop this Chris Rodriguez stat on you, because I love this one. Only had 35 rushes last year, so small sample size. But among every NFL player who had at least his 35 rushes last year, Chris Rodriguez, number one in broken tackle rate.
Wow, that's not one I knew. I knew his, you know, rushing DVOA was pretty high. I did not know, you know, again, small sample size, as we know.
Small sample size.
And a lot of, you know.
And goal line back, right?
Here's the funny thing about Rodriguez is that the seventh round pick, Jacory Kroski-Merritt, he likes to be called Bill Kroski-Merritt.
Yeah.
He's going to get a lot of carries, and I actually wonder if one of those two could be inactive on Sunday, because it's hard to carry four running backs on a game day roster, and Eckler will be up and McNichols will be up because McNichols is an outstanding special teams player, and so I wonder if one of those two others will be inactive. It may not happen, but everybody here, Charge, has all along. It's like, why haven't they liked him as much as we seem to like him? The reason was he wasn't in shape. You know, he didn't, you know, that he basically admitted it as much, that the issue with the last couple of years was he just didn't get into the kind of shape that they wanted him to get into. Apparently he's in that shape now. He's a good runner, though. You're right. Give me the first round player, you know, this year that kind of saw his draft stock fall the farthest based on recent, you know, last year.
Yeah, it's Devon Achane, who started this year in the drafting cycle, you know, that starts in July, where people start starting their drafts a lot more often and playing contest stuff. He was Devon Achane, the Miami running back, was going like pick 8, pick 9. He has slid all the way now to pick 18, pick 19, pick 20. And I think Miami is a team that a lot of people are nervous about, and for good reason. And Achane last year, he was the 10th highest scoring running back. It was a great find if you took him. But you've got so many things that can go wrong in Miami. Kevin, terrible offensive line. You've got his injury history, which is significant in college, and then his rookie year last year played 17 games, which stunned us, and now he's already hurt with a calf injury. Any play could be the last play of Tua's career, and when Achane played in 5 games without Tua last year, he was horrible. He did nothing. The whole offense just languished. They couldn't get anything going. And then here's the real deal killer for Devon Achane from this preseason. They're not going to use him at the stripe. They drafted Ollie Gordon, this big body power runner from Oklahoma State.
They like him, right?
He's going to be the goal line guy. Yep. He looked really good in the preseason. And Achane had struggles because he's so small of build. He couldn't power in the ball at the stripes. Those easy touchdowns are going to go to Ollie Gordon and not Devon Achane.
Interesting. What is expected out of J.J. McCarthy? You're a Vikings guy. What does Kevin O'Connell think he has in McCarthy, especially early in his first season of playing?
Yep, and he'll and even though McCarthy didn't play last year, he rolls into this start as the NFL's youngest quarterback at 22. He'll be on Monday Night Football. Now, granted, he played at Michigan, so he had a ton of spotlight games and big moments at Michigan. But this is still a little bit different. This is a tricky spot. Chicago, the opponent, Kevin, gave up the fewest passing touchdowns last year. This is a very good secondary anchored by an elite cornerback named Jalen Johnson, who does really get enough national attention. Yes, and I know you know who we're talking about. And then you've got all this tumult with the wide receivers for Minnesota. Justin Jefferson missed the entire all of training camp with a hamstring injury. They just traded to get Adam Thielen in, and their third string guy, Jalen Naylor's got a hand injury, and he missed all of training camp. And so that I think we're going to just see a lot of running, and not a lot of passing from J.J. McCarthy unless the Vikings get down by a lot, which I don't think is going to happen. But they'll try for a balanced offense against a bad run defense last year, and Jordan Mason is the guy to watch here.
Yeah, you've been talking about
it. Regardless of where you drafted Jordan Mason, he could be sitting on a very big game, Kevin. You know, if for those of you, you can legally wager where you are, Jordan Mason to score a touchdown or 2 touchdowns would be very interesting to me in this game.
I saw that one of our Terps made the Minnesota roster. I thought Ty Felton was excellent and would be an NFL receiver. With all those injuries, could he be active and a contributor Monday night?
No, sadly. Honestly, just being honest with you, it was a disappointing training camp where they needed Ty Felton to step up with all these receivers missing time. They needed him to splash. And it didn't happen, and his role looks like he's going to just be a special teamer, at least at the start of the season. There's a lot of hand-wringing in this town that, like, Isaac Kessla was not drafted. They had other, you know, they put real draft equity into Ty Felton, and they could have really used him. And because he didn't splash, they had to go get Adam Thielen.
Well, the good news is they're playing real games now. So we'll see what happens in real games versus, you know, summer training camp and preseason. All right, I kind of alluded to this player, but I know that he's intriguing to you because he's a bottom rung quarterback fantasy wise, but you think that he may be worth a play this weekend. Tell everybody who that is.
It's Joe Flacco, who went off the board as quarterback 31 in fantasy drafts. So, I mean, nobody interested in Joe Flacco, but what a great opportunity to start him this week against Cincinnati. And let me, more broadly, let's just, Kevin, and I know you know this, and we've hit on this in the past. Kevin Stefanski has won Coach of the Year two different times, and when he's not been shackled to Deshaun Watson, the Browns have been a good team, you know, and good offenses. You know, Joe Flacco was on this team 2 years ago.
He lit it up. He averaged over 300 yards and three touchdowns down the stretch to get him into the postseason.
Yeah, it was remarkable. You know, and that was only, we're only 1 year removed from that season with Joe Flacco and Kevin Stefanski back together again.
Yeah.
You know, they have good receivers. Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku went berserk with Flacco 2 years ago in that stretch. And they've got a promising young player named Cedric Tillman, who, if he went undrafted in your league, you might want to pick up. The Bengals are going to score a ton of points. This thing's going to be a shootout. They're going to be throwing like crazy. And I love Joe Flacco against a bad Cincinnati secondary.
And Njoku said something to the effect when camp started, the happiest all of us have been as Cleveland Browns was at the end of the 2023 season when Joe Flacco was the quarterback. He is a leader, and he gave us the best chance that anybody's given us at quarterback. I actually think there's a chance he's going to start a lot more games than a lot of people think. Everybody's counting down the weeks until it's Dylan Gabriel and then eventually Shedeur Sanders. But Stefanski's good, and that offense is right for, you know, Flacco, who can still sling it. He can still throw it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. What else? Anything I miss?
Well, I mean, I guess if there's one guy that one quarterback that I would not start that got drafted like a starter, I'd show some real caution on Justin Fields.
Okay.
Revenge game against his old team, Pittsburgh. And that's a coaching staff that knows all of his weaknesses, of which there are many as a passer. And then the Jets, they lost their starting guard, Elijah Vera Tucker. He's by far their best lineman. They just lost him yesterday. The Steelers pass rush ranked number one by Pro Football Focus, you know, Cam Hayward and TJ Watt. And they allow the fourth fewest quarterback rushing yards. So I don't even know if Fields going to help you on the ground. So, you know, if it came down to Fields or Joe Flacco, I would go Joe Flacco if you want just the safe selection here. I think it's him. Jets could be really bad this year.
As always, thanks. I'll talk to you next week. Enjoy week one.
Awesome. You're the best. Bye-bye.
Paul Charchian, everybody. At Paul Charchian on X on Twitter. All right, we've got our NFC division winners, wild cards, underperforming team, overperforming team, and a bold prediction as we do our NFC picks next.
All right, happy September 4th. It is Thursday, the first day of football. I am Max Ames. Here is the news of the morning. The Broncos and linebacker Nick Bonito reached an agreement today on a four-year extension worth up to $120 million, including $70 million in guarantees. Bonito, now the highest-paid non-quarterback in Broncos franchise history. And according to ESPN and Adam Schefter, the Philadelphia Eagles made a strong push to trade for former Cowboys pass rusher Micah Parsons. Philly and GM Howie Roseman inquired about his availability, and Dallas had very little interest in trading him to another team in the NFC East. Plus, Juwan Jennings, he ends his holdout with the 49ers, and they add $3 million in incentives to his deal. He can earn up to $10.5 million in the final year of his contract. To baseball, the Nats, they sweep the Marlins in what will be described as the Nassim Nunez game. Nunez was called up from AAA Rochester on Monday, went 3-for-4 with two home runs yesterday. Final score for the Nats, 10-5. And finally, football is back. The Dallas Cowboys, they travel to the Link in Philadelphia for the inaugural game of the NFL's regular season. It is also banner night for the Eagles. The Eagles are favored by 8.5 with a heap of sharp money coming in on the defending Super Bowl champs. That'll be tonight at 8:20 on NBC. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980. Hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Den's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
All right, we did our AFC predictions yesterday on the show. I had the Chiefs over the Steelers in the AFC Championship game. Max had the Ravens over the Bills in the AFC Championship game. Now we get to our NFC picks. We're going to pick the division winners, the three wild cards. We'll give you an overperforming team and an underperforming team and a bold prediction for the NFC. I'll go first. I've got Washington winning the NFC East. I'll give you my final predicted record on tomorrow's show, but I think Washington wins the NFC East, and I think the trend of now coming up on 20 years of not a repeat division winner continues. I've got Green Bay winning the NFC North. I've got Tampa Bay winning the NFC South, and I've got the 49ers winning the NFC West. Very chalky. Usually when I do this every year, I've got two or three shockers. I don't have that this year in the AFC. You know, I gave you Pittsburgh as a team that I thought would overperform. Here, you know, Washington, I guess, is not a chalk pick to win the division, but is definitely a chalk pick to make the playoffs. My wild card teams in order: Philly, Rams, Lions. So I'll just tell you that I've got San Francisco as the one seed in the NFC, Green Bay as the two, Washington as the three, Tampa as the four, Philly five, Rams six, Lions seven. Max, your division winners and wild cards.
All right, so coming out of the NFC South and taking the one seed, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm high on them this year. I really love the additions of Emeka Ekpuka in the offseason. I still think Mike Evans has got something. And then Bucky Irving is just going to go absolutely crazy. My two seed, the Washington Commanders out of the NFC East. They win the division.
We both have them winning the division.
The pattern's going to continue. It's going to go Dallas, Philly, Washington. And it's going to be like that forever. Right, Kevin?
I hope not. I hope we get Washington. That would be nice.
Good point. That would be nice. But down to my wild card teams, I have the Eagles.
Well, didn't give me your North and West winner first.
Oh, my apologies. The Lions are coming out of the NFC North. I think the lack of continuity is overblown. I think that the coordinators that they're bringing in, they were bred from this system. They know this system well. I don't think the turnover is going to affect them too much. I think they're going to win the NFC North. And then the NFC West, I have the San Francisco 49ers. I am not sold on the Rams, especially because of Matthew Stafford. So in my wild card in order, I have the Eagles coming in the wild card, the Packers making it in the wild card. And then this is the third one. I've got a little conundrum here. I don't really know kind of what my read's going to be. It is the Rams at the moment, but if Matthew Stafford's back falls off the bone like a pork shoulder, then I think I've got the Cardinals coming out of the with that wild card spot. So
is that your pick, the Cards?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cards because I don't believe.
Well, that's certainly, that would be an upset if the Cardinals make the playoffs. All right,
this is the proper champ year for Gannon.
You've got Tampa 1, Washington 2, Detroit 3, San Francisco 4, the Eagles 5, Packers 6, and Arizona 7. What's your NFC championship matchup?
My championship matchup is the Washington Commanders. They will take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a rematch of the NFC wildcard game from this previous year.
Wow. NFC title game, Washington at Tampa Bay. My NFC championship game, Washington, even though they're the three seed, I've got them, you know, winning a week one game over the Rams, winning in the divisional round at Lambeau, and then going and playing San Francisco in Santa Clara 2 weeks before the Super Bowl is hosted in Santa Clara. We both have Washington in the NFC championship game on the road. So, who is your NFC champion?
My NFC champion is going to be none other than the Washington Commanders.
Oh, my God.
I am high, Kevin.
What are we doing
I'm
here?
I'm huffing Ashburn syndrome. Inject it into my
Washington
veins.
I have Washington going to San Francisco and winning and advancing to Super Bowl 60.
I love it, baby.
I mean, look, for years, it was like, if I got them to 8-8, that was like a big deal. Last year, I was out there on a limb, tongue in cheek in part, but had him at 10-7 and making the postseason. I was high on Jaden and really was going out on a limb. I didn't think what would happen happened. This year, if they are as good as I think they could be offensively in a quarterback, I've got Washington with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And by the way, in my scenario, they play the NFC title game in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium.
No travel.
And then 2 weeks later, they play the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl at Levi's Stadium. You've got a Baltimore-Washington Super Bowl. I have a Washington-Kansas City Super Bowl. We will give you tomorrow's show our Super Bowl winner. All right. I know that there are people like, come on, stop. I actually really feel like this team is right there in the NFC with a chance. Philadelphia's got the best roster. Washington's got the best quarterback. All right. Underperforming team in the NFC for me, it's actually kind of a tie between Minnesota and Detroit, because I think Detroit will be the 7 seed, but they'll make the postseason. So I'll go with Minnesota as my underperformer. My overperformer, based on Washington being in the Super Bowl, would be Washington. But I'll give you one other one. I think Carolina is going to be better than people think this year. I think the Giants potentially are better than people think as well. But I'll go with Carolina as my overperforming team. And then my bold NFC prediction is that Tyson Badgett from Shepherd College in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, starts games in Chicago, not because of injury, but because of performance with Caleb Williams. That's my bold
NFC prediction.
What's your underperformer, overperformer, bold prediction?
So the bold prediction, I'm still kind of racking my brain around. I don't really know where I'm going to go, but the overperformer, you already mentioned the Giants. They are in that category for me. I think that they're going to put it together, at least for a little bit this year. They'll have at least one stretch of games where they kind of look competent. And then on the other side, and Brian's going to be really happy to hear this, or mad, depending on, you know, my my prognosticating skills, but the Dallas Cowboys, I think, are going to overperform expectations this year. So I think the NFC Beast is going to be one hell of a fight coming down the stretch.
So wait a minute. You've got two overperformers. Who's your number one overperformer?
My number one would be the Giants, because I think...
Okay, who's your underperformer?
My underperformer, again, depends on Matthew Stafford's health. It could be the Rams, but it's also, for me, going to be... I think the Seahawks are just not going to be that competitive.
Give me your bold NFC prediction.
My bold prediction was the Commanders Bucks rematch in the NFC Championship, because I just think that the Bucks are going to be so high. I think Bucky Irving has a shot at Offensive Player of the Year. So let's go with that. My bold prediction this year.
Okay, Bucky Irving, Offensive Player of the Year.
Yep, that's it.
Okay. There you go. We've given you our AFC and NFC predictions for the season, and we both have Washington representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. That is a first for me, no doubt. All right, Michael Phillips will join us next. We'll talk Washington and the matchup against the Giants on Sunday. We'll get his season prediction as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live. If you want to download the Odyssey app, you can take us wherever you want and listen to us whenever you want. And you can also watch us on the Team 980's YouTube channel. Hit the like button and hit the subscribe button when you get there. And all of our NFL talk on this show is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 1 matchup between Detroit and Green Bay, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.